It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mary Thomas Hart with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. But first, Randy Block with Cattle Facts. He summarizes what they expect for the industry moving forward.
Total meat production, because of these higher cost environments we're in, obviously they're going to be flatter in here. We won't see significant increases, but we should see an improvement in profitability at a number of these segments of the industry, not only this year, but as we move on into 2024 and 2025 as well. The biggest challenge, I think, for producers in all segments of the industry, with the exception of the cow-calf producers, is just where am I going to find enough supply to keep my operations full? That will be the biggest challenge, and I'd say the thing that you'll have to navigate the hardest on as we work through this year.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Mary Thomas Hart. Mary Thomas is Chief Counsel for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Washington, D.C., except not in Washington today. You're in New Orleans.
Happy to be in New Orleans and happy to be talking to you, Tony.
Okay. 2023 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show. And I guess it would be nice to be at a convention and trade show when you could just enjoy it, but hard to enjoy it with all the things that are on the front burner for you.
It's been a busy couple of weeks, which certainly makes convention fun and I think informative for all of our members.
So let's tee up the first one. Let's start with Waters of the U.S. And again, this is a moving target, but what's the latest on Waters of the U.S.?
Well, 2022 was a pretty quiet year for WOTUS, and then on December 30th, the Biden administration announced their final rule, which is the third regulatory definition of WOTUS in the last 8 years. So that rule was published in the Federal Register on January 18th. It is set to go into effect on March 20th, but by the end of the day on January 18th, NCBA and a coalition of 13 other national trade associations filed a lawsuit to put the rule on hold and hopefully, ultimately, get the rule vacated so that it never goes into effect.
Why do we keep seeing changes in rules?
I think, you know, WOTUS has become such a political football, and we don't have time from the moment a rule is finalized until the next presidential election to get it through the court process, right? To get a thumbs up or thumbs down from the Supreme Court. So for the last 8 years, we've seen with every presidential administration a new version of this definition. So, you know, I think it's going to be helpful that while the Biden administration is set to finalize this rule, the Supreme Court is also actively considering the definition of WOTUS, and that could have a very real impact on the future of this rule.
We're really not talking about clean water at this point. It appears as though WOTUS has become more of a struggle, if you will, for those who want the current type rule for WOTUS. What are they really looking for?
When NCBA looks at any definition of WOTUS, we're really looking for three things. One, how are ephemeral features treated, or those features that only carry water after a precipitation event? Two, we're looking at isolated features like prairie potholes, playa lakes, and vernal pools, those features that aren't really contributing significantly to downstream water quality. And third, we're looking for agricultural exclusion. So are there some helpful carve-outs for farmers and ranchers that will protect them from potential liability? And, you know, I think you're exactly right. We're not talking about protecting our national water resource. I think everyone agrees that it's important to have clean water. The question and the controversy related to WOTUS is related to those features that are either dry for most of the year or aren't significantly contributing to downstream water quality. So when we look at the Biden rule, we got one out of three. So we got some helpful agricultural exclusions for things like stock ponds, prior converted cropland, and drainage ditches. But when it comes to those ephemeral and isolated features, the Biden administration basically threw up their hands and said, maybe. So that means that farmers and ranchers across the country are going to have to spend a lot of time and money to get jurisdictional determinations trying to figure out if those features on their property are subject to federal regulation.
So that's Waters of the U.S. What else do you have on the front burners right now?
Oh, well, it's a farm bill year, right? So in addition to getting to work on our EPA policy, I also manage our voluntary conservation work. So really excited to work on some important voluntary conservation programs throughout the farm bill and make sure that any climate-related policies that make it into the farm bill include not only cattle production, but all segments of U.S. cattle production, both grazing and feeding, because we know that when we talk about the U.S. beef supply chain, our technology, our genetics, and our grazing management is what helps gives us the lowest carbon footprint per pound of beef of any beef producing country in the world.
Does it help? Because we've had some interesting things happen through legislation over the last couple of years, but the conservation title, I believe, is already funded. How does that set up working through the farm?
Great question, and you're right. So the Inflation Reduction Act passed in the middle of 2022 provided about $21 billion to USDA and RCS to fund a lot of those farm bill conservation programs. And just to put it in perspective, $21 billion is about 2.5 farm bills worth of funding. So we're talking 10, 12 years worth of programming funds that are already available at USDA. The caveat to that program or to those funds is that they have to be for, quote, climate smart agriculture, and an existing carve out that existed for those voluntary conservation programs, especially EQIP, is a 50% livestock carve out. So that meant that at least 50% of all EQIP funds had to be designated for livestock related conservation practices. We lost that carve out in the Inflation Reduction Act. So even though there's a really healthy pot of money over at USDA right now, we have to, one, work with USDA to make sure that they define climate smart in a way that includes cattle production, but then also we're going to work through the farm bill to reinstate that 50% carve out.
Okay. So good to see you, and so much work that's going on. If we want to keep up with the work happening in your wheelhouse, can we do that online?
Not only can you go to policy.ncba.org to follow this and other important issues that we're working on, but I always encourage people, you know, especially as we, you know, start up litigation to fight this WOTUS rule, joining NCBA is one of the best ways you can support the cause.
Great to see you. Best of luck.
Great to see you. Thanks, Tony.
Mary Thomas Hart is Chief Counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. From the 2023 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in New Orleans, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by David Crow and by Matt Crow with Parks Ranch in Texas. And I guess we'll start, David, you're closer to me, so I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about Parks Ranch and the areas in Texas that you're running cattle in.
Now, the Parks Ranch is one of our ranches in South Texas. It's part of the coastal prairies. We're about 60 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, and we were given the Environmental Stewardship Award for the region. And we're a cow-calf operation. We have fall calving cows, and we also have spring calving cows. So we always have another set of calves coming. It's a constant deal, so we work very hard at it.
Truly is family business. Probably a good chance to bring in Matt. Matt, when did you know you wanted to be a part of the family business? Has it always been there? And then how did you do it?
Yeah, it's been something I've always wanted to do. Just watch my dad do it as I was growing up, and got the opportunities to work on the ranch growing up. And it was kind of one of those things. I really didn't think about anything else or doing anything else. And I got an education at TCU Ranch Management School, and I've been back full-time helping him for the last 10 years or so. And then we're partners at this point. So
let's talk about the award now. What is the award, and is it one that you started off and said, hey, let's see if we can win this award?
Well, I don't know if we can win this award. When you look at the other region winners, and I don't know if all of them, but certainly the majority of them, are multi-generational ranchers. To me, that's the definition of sustainability, is multi-generational. So Matt and I, with him being the second generation, and now I've got four grandchildren, and hopefully one of them will come and work with Matt so we can be there. And we're defining our own sustainability is what you know, when you think about it from that word. So the Environmental Stewardship Award is a lot about sustainability. It's how the ranches are benefiting from our management, from our grazing management to our fencing program, the water program, everything we're doing, including the soil health, the brush control, invasive species, all the things we fight on a constant basis, is all kind of wrapped up in this deal.
Maybe a good chance to swing back over to Matt. Matt, there are challenges every year, and you know, I think you said, 10 years now that you've been doing this? What are some of the, I mean, David mentioned some of the challenges here, but what are some of the other challenges that you face running ranches in the 21st century?
So far, I really haven't had to deal with anything that would be defined as coming in the 21st century. To me, it's been dealing with the drought we had last summer, and then the one before that. It seems like kind of changing weather patterns has been the toughest thing to deal with. It's gotten tougher to make long-term plans, and it seems like we're doing more drought planning than we are anything else right now.
TSCRA, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. Who wants this one? I know y'all have been involved in TSCRA. David, you want to take that one? Tell us about the organization.
We just call it Cattle Raisers, but the TSCRA, I'm a director in there. Matt is now becoming very active. He's a committee man. One of the important things in this business is it's not really what you know, it's who you know. And it's a great opportunity to build your Rolodex, is what I call it. Most people don't even know what a Rolodex is anymore. But, you know, it's your network of friends and acquaintances and business people that you do business with. And it gives you an opportunity to build those relationships. And you just never know where that relationship's going to take you. Cattle Raisers is a great venue for that.
Guys, great to see you. Thanks for the work you do. Congratulations on the award, and we wish you the best.
Thanks.
Again, it's David Crow and Matt Crow. They're with Parks Ranch along the coastal prairie. We'll just say Corpus Christi and call it good. How's that? From the 2023 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open. With jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, krirm.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Mary Thomas Hart with NCBA.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
There were several offsets regarding global cotton production within USDA's latest outlook. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski.
Cotton production was reduced 1 million bales, but that is reflecting an increase in our forecast for China by 500,000 bales and a reduction in our forecast for India by 1 million bales, and then some other offsets in Pakistan and the African Francophone and a couple other places.
The World Cotton Balance Sheet highlighted another decrease in consumption.
This was the ninth consecutive month of reducing our consumption forecast.
Among the month-over-month reductions in categories within the global supply and demand estimate, the domestic balance sheet was mostly quiet. That included no change in the season-ending average price for cotton, still at 83 cents per pound. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.